Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation Pantera. I don't know whether to begin with the Bible or Bush's legacy, so I'll begin with Bush's legacy since that's something most of you can relate to. I read today that the U.S. deficit is zooming to $500 billion as Bush leaves office. Government's budget deficit will surge past $500 billion next year, according to gloomy new experts. A record flood of red ink that promises to force the winner of the presidential race to dramatically alter his economic agenda. $500 billion, that's a lot of money. Now, how did this happen? Well, hey, last week Bush wrote a check for $48 billion to treat AIDS in Africa. Of course, most of the money will not go to the people. It will go to the drug companies. Again, the drug companies. Again, the pharmaceutical companies. Again, the drug companies. That's right. But the question is, who gave Bush the authority to write a $48 billion check for AIDS in Africa? Well, we have a deficit. Where's the money coming from? You. He'll print the money. And what about the war? The war on terror seems to be important. We all agree on that. But is there sufficient oversight in contracting, bid rigging, corruption, war profiteering? No. Absolutely not. There have been war profiteers in the history of every nation. We have the most greedy war profiteers in the history of any nation operating right now in the United States of America. And that ties into today's news in a way. And that is the indictment of Senator Ted Stevens, Republican of Alaska. He is not at all being accused of war profiteering. He's been under investigation by the FBI for more than a year for his ties to VECO, an Alaskan oil company. And he made false statements on government disclosures to hide gifts he received from VECO, including some furniture, some cars, and a barbecue grill. Do you hear this? Furniture, vehicles, and a barbecue grill. Yet you have Jack Murtha, Democrat of Pennsylvania, the biggest recipient of pork barrel spending in American history. No wrongdoing there, because it's all done legally. Now, I don't know whether the Republicans are simply stupider than the Democrats in how they take out the pork from the barrel, or they are just simply cheap goods. But I don't understand why Ted Stevens should be indicted, while there are those on the other side who I think should be indicted. U.S. deficit zooming to $500 billion as Bush leaves office. So whoever becomes president has some job on their hands, whether it's McCain or Obama. They have very different plans on what they're going to do. McCain says he's going to renew the Bush tax cuts enacted in 01 and 03 and actually add new tax cuts for businesses and upper-income people who pay the alternative minimum tax, and I agree with him, because a tax cut would stimulate investment and creativity, while Obama, the classic Democrat tax-and-spend socialist liberal, would actually punish the creative wealthy taxpayer and investor and put a chill across the investment community, because Obama does not understand economics. He doesn't understand that wherever you kill the incentive to make money, businesses start to wither and die. Obama has a total disconnect with reality when it comes to economics. So in this regard, I have to go totally with McCain's approach to this problem. But you know, there's something that both of them need to do, which they won't do, and that is stop the spending. Wouldn't that be the right thing for either of the one of the winners to do? How about stopping the spending? Cut out expensive spending programs. Cut off the spending that Bush did in his last drunken 6 months. Cancel it. Say no. Just say no to this drug addiction. It's like a drug addiction. Where do they get the audacity to write checks like this? Bailout of Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac. Who's paying for it? You are. That adds to the deficit. What about this silly stimulus payments? The silly stimulus payments are being made to 130 million households. What kind of sense does this make? This is idiocy. Bush is not a fiscal conservative. As I've said to you for months, Bush is a fiscal socialist. You get it? So I ask you, what is President Bush's legacy? Does Bush's legacy have legs? Does his legacy have legs? 1-800-449-8255. I didn't think you'd call on that. It's a dry topic. The little man is sitting in the chair asleep. The little man did not jump out of his chair. The little man has got a big zzz going out of his head. Oh, who cares about Bush's legacy? Who cares if his legacy has legs? He's finished. He's gone. So let's go on to the next one. Let us say the worst happens and Obama wins. What might happen? Well, I have written what would happen, and strange, it came out today. The Committee for Justice is trying to rile support, to put together, rather, a top 10 list of things to expect from the Supreme Court should Barack Hussein Obama be elected president. The executive director of the Committee for Justice, a conservative group, Kurt Levy, wrote that supporters should expect the following. The Obama court is a conservative nightmare. And he says by the end of an 8-year Obama presidency, Justices Scalia and Kennedy, some conservative, would be 80 years old, an age most men never reach, and two, given the damage the Supreme Court has done to the rule of law since 1969, what the Supreme Court would do if it regained a solid liberal majority is the following. Number one, he would order all 50 states to bless gay marriage, and I know that to be true. I told you that 6 months ago, the first act of Obama's would be to eliminate Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. And I said that to you 6 months ago, and last week Obama and his minions came out and said the first thing they will do will outlaw Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. Now, why is this such an order and so important to the Obama camp? And should it be? Is that the most pressing problem in America, whether there are more gays in the military? Or shall I say more openly gays in the military? Because that's probably more to the more closely to the truth. I mean, if a person has a sexual orientation, then keep it to themselves. Do me a favor. I'm sick of hearing about your sexual orientation. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear it anymore. I'd rather hear about your fighting spirit if you're in the military. If you're gay, God bless you. But why is your sexuality more important than your willingness to fight and die for your country? That's number one. Number two, you ask yourself, where did Obama come from? How did he get so prominent so fast? Where did the initial money come from? It came from Hollywood. It came from the billionaires of Hollywood who are gay, and they have an agenda. The main agenda is don't ask, don't tell. The second main point is homosexual marriage. That's it. That's number one. Number two, that's it. And so, therefore, this group now says number one will be ordering all 50 states to bless gay marriage. I agree that that will be maybe number two. Number one will be don't ask, don't tell. Obama will order the Supreme Court to strip under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. He will erode property rights. He will create new constitutional rights to massive government welfare and medical care programs, even for illegal aliens. He will require taxpayers to fund unlimited abortion rights. He will ban the death penalty. He will prohibit tuition vouchers for religious schools. He will expand the judge's oversight of military detentions and CIA interrogations, weakening us in our war against the Islamo-fascists. Obama will create new constitutional rights for physician-assisted suicide and human cloning. That should chill everyone out in the audience. Physician-assisted suicide, that's euthanasia. My fear is that it will be used on the handicapped. And I have opposed euthanasia from the beginning, going back to Terry Schiavo, because it was used by Hitler. The handicapped community, the disabled community should understand I'm their best friend in radio instead of attacking me. Finally, they say that expanding and perpetuating the use of racial preferences, meaning affirmative action, those are the things to expect from the Obama court. U.S. deficit zooming to $500 billion as Bush leaves, which is, does Bush's legacy have legs? I will also take calls on any other interesting topic. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has all the stories I've just mentioned and more. In fact, let me just hit some of them to keep you listening. The big one on the top right is that the tale of two sanctuary cities, L.A. and San Francisco. Don't reelect these mayors, indict them. Because the organization that wrote it says aiding and abetting illegal immigration is a crime punishable by a five-year prison sentence. And he says that Gavin Newsom and Villagrosa belong in jail for aiding and abetting illegal immigration. Agree or disagree? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Unto others as you would have them do unto you. I've lived by that rule my entire life. Sometimes I fail to live up to it. Sometimes I have. Most of the time I have. I'm very cognizant of the other man. And in some senses, I'm a biblical absolutist, particularly when it comes to Exodus, an eye for an eye. If men strive together, etc. It says in Exodus, if any harm follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, there's a group called Media Matters that has come to destroy me. They are the enemies of freedom of speech. They are allegedly a 501c3, I believe, nonprofit organization that pays no taxes on their many, many tens of millions of dollars a year income from nefarious sources. No income tax. The leaders of it, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in income. They are a political arm of the Democrat Party. They should have their tax status revoked, and they should pay fines and penalties for having withheld taxes for all these years they've hid behind the 501c3 while they were a partisan political organization. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you any of this. If I still had a Republican Party to go to, I wouldn't have to be telling you this. We don't have a Republican Party to go to. They've disappeared. There is no opposition. There's only one team on the football field. It's the radical left Democrat Party. And so I have to do the job that the government should be doing, both in fighting against CARE, a front group for nefarious Islamists, in my opinion, who has come after me, with, by the way, similar protest signs to the ones I saw last week, the same yellow printed signs, and we'll get to the bottom of where these signs came from. Because they're coming out of central casting somewhere. But I need your help. I need you to go to MichaelSavage.com. And if you never gave me $5, give me $10 today. Because I am going to sue Media Matters. I'm going to get the federal government in an eye for an eye. They want to take me down? Good luck to them. You're going to help me take them down. Because what's fair is fair. Do you want a nonprofit organization that is partisan on either side of the aisle to get away with hiding behind nonprofit status by violating federal law, as they are doing, in my opinion? They are a partisan political group that targets only conservatives. They work for the far-left Democrat Party. They're funded in part by George Soros. Hillary Clinton boasts she created them. Now, of course, they have big friends. They're protected by the Clintons. They're protected by Nancy Pelosi. They're protected by the most powerful people in the Democrat Party. I understand that. But I also understand that there are some fair federal judges who actually will interpret the law correctly. And I am going to drag this case before a judge with your help. I am going to have a proper case brought before a judge. I want an IRS audit of Media Matters. You can help me. You can help me by joining the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund. And I'm going to say something right now. This is a legal statement that I'm going to make. I have not taken 1 cent from the entire fund. Not 1 cent. I've not bought myself a cup of coffee from all of the money we have taken in. It is held in a trust account by my attorney. I have not received a penny, nor have I spent a penny on myself. No refrigerators, no cars, no tires, no trips, no junkets, no meetings, no dinners on you. Not 1 cent has gone to me personally. Not 1 cent. You can take that to the bank. You can take that to the bank. You're dealing with an honest man here, but it's an honest man who will fight to the death. Nobody's going to take me down without a fight. I'm telling you right now, they may win in the short run. In the long run, I'm going to win. I want you to help me. I want you to help me take down this group. They are evil. Forget that they're left wing. The country has left and right wing. The bird needs two wings to fly. I devised all of that conceptualization, and I understand it. Bird can't fly with one wing. But when they're hiding as a nonprofit organization and not paying taxes on their income, saying that they're nonpartisan, then you liberals have to understand that this is not right. It's wrong. And so I want liberals to help me. I want conservatives to help me. I want anyone to help me, because you're going to be helping yourself. And so therefore, go to michaelsavage.com. And there's something else you can do if you don't want to send me $1. And that is contact Media Matters and demand their income tax records. Demand to see their income tax records. I believe they have to provide it to anyone who asks. So maybe they'll get 10,000 requests or 50,000 requests off to defending his nonprofit status instead of attacking Michael Savage by using autism groups, immigrant groups, Arab groups to do the bidding of these maniacs, these evil, evil men who live to hate and live to use people for their own diabolical ends. So as I say, watch out who you're dealing with, boys. I'm not an ordinary guy you're going to push around very easily. Everything I've earned in my life has been honest. Every penny I have, I earned. And if you think you're going to destroy me without a fight, you are mistaken. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt surely rebuke thy neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Thou shalt not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, those are good words. I love my neighbor as myself. And I want my neighbors in Media Matters to understand that what's fair is fair. And if we pay taxes and you don't, my friends, there's a cold, hard sell waiting for you.
Savage.
Legacy, 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 legacy. Nobody will write my legacy. I will write my legacy. I will not let the degenerate left write my life story. I will never let them write my life story. They will not cast their sins upon me. I can guarantee you that. Now, let's go to the politics and the personal, whatever you want to do here. Chicago, Sue, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I am just totally outraged at what you have to go through, and I think that people have absolutely lost their minds. And in my occupation, I'm finding that I have to take a lot of criticism and negativity, and things start just totally upside down and wrong, and I'm trying to learn from you. And how do you have such a thick skin? Because
Many years ago, I had a friend who taught me a line. He was a wise older man, and he said, "Be particular whose insults you take to heart." Now, at first, I didn't understand it. His name was Irving. He's dead. He was a very large man. He was an entomologist. He was very brilliant, a little, you know, different than the average person. He sat for days, hours, weeks, months, years, and looked at insects and wrote interesting things in his journal. And people would have thought he was, let's say, eccentric or odd or whatever. But he also was very, very insightful, and he was very sensitive. And he said to me, "Michael, be particular whose insults you take to heart. You can't let people who mean nothing insult you. You have to analyze who is insulting you, what they're saying about you, and who they are, and what's in it for them." In other words, don't take everything that is said about you inside yourself. Does that make sense to you? Be particular whose insults you take to heart.
It does. It totally makes sense. But there are times where, I don't know, maybe you've had the same situation, but you let people get in your head and you doubt yourself and you feel...
Well, that's true for all people. But eventually you've got to learn how to take that inner, the arrow they put into your head, and turn it around and send it back to them. I mean, it's kind of an internal jujitsu, and it takes years to do, and every one of us is sensitive to criticism. I don't believe there's a person listening to this show who is not sensitive to criticism. And a lot of this has to do with who you let come near you, Sue. Are you talking about people in the workplace, or how do they get to you?
The clients, you know, I'm usually talking about very sensitive emotional topics with them. It's about their money and finances. And
you mean if you make mistakes, they criticize you as an advisor?
I really don't think, you know, everybody makes mistakes, and if I make a mistake, I'll own up to it. But I think that when you're sometimes the bearer of bad news, you're the first person to be blamed and chastised for all their problems since they were 2 years old.
So in other words, kill the messenger, that you're the messenger of their misfortune and they want to blame you for everything. Well, that's what's going on in my life right now. They're trying to blame me for what happened to them by finding a scapegoat for what happened to them and blaming me for their problems. And they were stimulated to attack the very man who's been defending them for the last 40 years. It's very intriguing to me how vulnerable populations can be manipulated by white liberals. It's amazing to me how the white liberal communist is so clever that he can take vulnerable populations and use them as battering rams against the truly decent in this society. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website, whatever you call it. New Jersey, Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, in the Old Testament, it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But in the New Testament, it says, love your enemies. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, if you want to love your enemy, my friend, I won't suggest otherwise. I'm not going to love my enemy. So you mean, for example, after Pearl Harbor, we should have embraced the Japanese instead of bombing them back?
Well, what could we say? In other words,
let me see if I understand this. The Jews who went into the ovens in the Holocaust should come out and kiss the next German they met?
Yeah, I know. It's very confusing to me because Jesus, Jesus said these words, to love your enemies. So, you know.
Yes, but you see, Jesus was a prophet to all and a Messiah to some. And a prophet or a Messiah is different than you and I. They have different rules to live by. And the Christian doctrine believes that Jesus died for the sins of mankind. Is that not true, Frank?
Yes,
but that doesn't mean we have to die for the sins of our enemies. My theological interpretation would be Jesus was in a class by himself. He was God's son, according to Christian theology. So therefore, we are ordinary mortals. We don't have to live by the exact same rules unless we too wish to be crucified.
But
Do you wish to be crucified? If a man comes to your house at your gate, and he says, I am going to kill you, as Ahmadinejad is doing every day to the West. That little maniac gets up every day and says, the West is dying. I'll kill you. I'm going to 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 kill you. And we do nothing. The little man in platform heels threatens to do what he's going to do if he's allowed to do it. And nobody does anything. Instead, the crooks in Washington keep robbing us, the taxpayer. We all know that they're useless. Thieves and harlots in Washington, pointing fingers, sitting on their thrones, robbing the treasury, while the true enemy of our survival threatens us every day and they do nothing. You want me to sit here and say I'd be glad to embrace Ahmadinejad after he bombs New York or kills us with a pulse over our electronics and knocks us out of business? What's wrong with this country? Like a nation of idiots. They get madder at me than they get mad than Ahmadinejad. They're more hatred for Michael Savage than the man who says he's going to destroy them. The man who kills homosexuals in Iran is more loved by these psychopaths than Michael Savage. Man who hangs homosexuals and kills them is embraced by the homosexual mafia in this country, and I am hated. Think about that. Think about the insanity of this country. You saw the latest story, didn't you, today about Ahmadinejad, our dear friend, our wonderful Iranian buddy? You saw what the military said. They're terrified, the military, that he's going to use a nuclear weapon to create an electronic pulse that destroys all of our electronic devices. Now, you think they're just doing this for the money? I don't. I think they're trying to warn us as to the danger we're in. And yet we do nothing. Why do we do nothing? Can anyone explain that to me? No, I guess no one has an answer. 1-800-449-8255. Pardon me for being myself. Pardon me for telling you like it is. Pardon me for being the individual who's trying to wake this country up out of the somnambulist state that you are in. Like walking ghouls. Baseball, football, boxing. Sports, 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 porno, sports, sports, porno, entertainment sluts, porno, sports, entertainment sluts, sluts, porno, sports, sluts, porno, sports, sluts, porno, sports. One man has destroyed your mind. One man, the media pirate from Australia, Rupert Murdoch, came here and distorted the entire media landscape. He mixed you up by putting short skirts in your face. The news is mixed with the short skirt. He also owns a television network. He also owns a movie company. And so he uses the news outlets to promote movies. And you don't understand why you don't understand anything. So pardon me for seeing things as they are. And I don't know how much longer I'll be in radio. I have no idea. I told you it's in God's hands at this point. It's in heaven's hands. This power was given to me by God. This power shall be taken from me by God, nobody else. I'll tell you that right now. I tell you that right now. It's out of my hands. If the groups that I have defended for 40 years want to be used by Media Matters to destroy me, I can't stop them. If they want to be used by their own enemy, I can't help them. If they don't understand how they're being used, I can't help them. If the government will not step in and investigate Media Matters' tax status and collect the money that is owed we, the taxpayer, because they are not a nonpartisan political group, by any estimation, not when their stated aim is to attack conservatives in the media. How in the world could that be given a tax? How can that organization be given a tax-free status? Don't you people understand the first thing about tax rules? The tax code's very clear. You can't just get a nonprofit status. Somebody gave it to them. Somebody up there likes them in the Democrat Party. They're a front group for the Democrat Party. But there's another party, isn't there? The impotent geldings called the Republicans, you'd think one of them would go after Media Matters on behalf of those of us in the media who put these dopes in office. But if they won't do it, I'll do it. I'll do the government's job with your help. So, 1-800-449-825. Pardon me for getting worked up. Why should I care? Why should I care? Because I've been caring since I've been a child about the injustices that are being done to the most vulnerable elements of our society, the children, the handicapped, the brain damaged, Terri Schiavo. You know, not all of your conservative icons were in favor of keeping Terri Schiavo alive. I was. Oh, yes, some of you wonderful conservative icons in the media who were in favor of the Dubai ports deal, in favor of killing Terri Schiavo, are your heroes because you're like the deaf and the blind. You're no different than the knee-jerk liberal. You're a knee-jerk Republican if you actually don't even understand what you're doing. And I can only do what I can do. I can only do what I can do. And you shall not make your souls detestable by beast or by fowl or by anything wherewith the ground teemeth, which I have set apart for you to hold unclean. What does that mean? Why did God give the word of God, and why did he write Leviticus through the hand of man? What was it for? Oh, those are old rules for those old olive growers. We don't need those rules anymore. No, we're modern people. We don't need these rules. Sleep with a goat. Go sleep with a donkey. That's real cool. Put it on YouTube. I listened to a show here in the San Francisco area yesterday. It was so sickening. A guy named Mr. Softy, a flop, a local flop, Mr. Softy, tried national show. He lasted about 3 months. So Mr. Softy, who runs like a chick show, has a prostitute on. A prostitute, because the city wants to legalize prostitution here at San Francisco. He has a hooker on his show, 21 years old, and she's trying to tell girls that being a prostitute is equal to being a waitress. So a caller, an old woman, calls in and tries to articulate the difference between being a waitress and a whore. And Mr. Softy giggles like the little girl he really is inside his Hawaiian shirt. And Mr. Softy, of course, is happy to bond with the hooker. And the hooker goes on to say, oh, no, no, that's exploitation, too. It's equal to prostitution, being a waitress. I want to use my body in any way I want. And to me, serving dishes, holding dishes and serving food is the same thing as serving up my body to men. And Mr. Softy, of course, went along with it. Now, I believe in free speech, but I listened to it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And Mr. Softy, of course, doesn't have the brain power to even have understood there's a difference between being a waitress and being a prostitute. I can tell you probably why, and that is because in his own mind, there is no difference. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Fires, earthquakes, pestilence. You know, I did a monologue on this a few months ago. It was like the seven biblical plagues seem to be visited upon the United States right now. Fires, pestilence, earthquakes, contaminated food you'd put into the category of pestilence. Tornadoes, hurricanes, all coming in a short period of time. Now, I mean, if you're oriented in this direction, you could say we're being warned about the coming storm. That unless we straighten our ways out, unless we get control of the media maniacs who are destroying our children's minds with this pornography, with the sexualization of little girls and little boys, with the drugging of our children, with the categorization of our children as ill in order to manipulate them into taking drugs, because the same media madmen who are sitting on the boards of these corporations also sit on the boards of pharmaceutical firms. Check it out. It's called interlocking corporate directorships. So if I'm the last man who knows what's going on in America, so be it. I don't care that you don't know. I don't care that you didn't read it in the newspaper. The very same men and women who sit on the boards of these media conglomerates also sit on the boards of some of the pharmaceutical companies that are selling these dangerous drugs to you and to our children, putting them on multiple drugs. First, they put them on brain-killing drugs like Risperidol. Now, I've talked with Dr. Bregan about this. I would invite those of you who don't know who I am to go to michaelsavage.com and, for God's sakes, listen to what I actually said, not to what the enemies of truth want you to think I said. And you will see that the psychiatrist, Peter Bregan, MD Harvard, treated children for 30, 40 years, agrees with me. There was no drug to treat autism until the demons in the medical profession worked in cahoots with the drug companies to declare that a drug developed to control the most violent, out-of-control schizophrenics in mental hospitals, Risperidol, would be given to our children. He said it destroys their minds permanently, causing permanent brain damage. And you don't listen to me. Instead, you attack me. It is like trying to shoot the legs out of Paul Revere's horse. Why are you shooting at me instead of shooting at those who are drugging your children? Why are you not marching outside the drug companies? Why are you not marching in Washington outside of the National Institute of Mental Health, which has become an arm of the pharmaceutical companies, I ask you? Because you've been manipulated by some of the most clever enemies of truth this country has ever seen. New York City, Jennifer, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just want to make the point that I am absolutely amazed how many people in the population don't want to hear another side, refuse to be open to another point, just to hear it, just to listen to it, but they're okay with everyday mass media feeding them falsehoods and exaggerations.
The mass media is run by the far left. We all know that. We all know the mass media is run by the far left. Even if they sometimes put a conservative face on it, it's run by the far left. And I can't fix that. I can only be who I am. I am what I am. I see the world in my own eyes. I try to back it up with my intelligence and my knowledge and the facts I bring to the argument. If people don't want to hear the facts, I cannot force them to listen to the facts. You understand that?
And
you understand that. All I can do is lay it out there for them. Michigan, Dave, you're next. Go to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, I've been listening to you on again, off again for several years, and I'm just impressed with how your enthusiasm for what you say, for lack of a better word, passion, would probably be better. And, you know, I can't thank you enough, because if it were not for you, we would have a situation where, like sheep, we'd all be led by NBC, CBS, and on the core goes. And you're kind of like...
Well, they had a lock grip on the American public mind for 50 years, didn't they? The Alphabet Channels had it for 50 straight years. The Walker Crankenhouses, the Dan Rathers, they were brainwashing America for a half a century. And then they lost their grip with the advent of talk radio and the internet, and they don't like it. And consequently, the voices like mine, of which there are probably a dozen in the media, in the radio media, are being attacked and vilified on a daily basis. And they're being attacked and vilified primarily by the front group for the Democrat Party, who was trying to knock us out of the box prior to the election. And that group is Media Matters. They are a political arm of the Democrat Party, in my estimation, and they should have their tax status investigated and revoked and pay penalties. Now, find one Republican who's willing to go to bat for the truth. Name one. Can you name one? Name one congressman or senator that you or I could go to and say, sir, investigate Media Matters for us, because we think that they're a partisan group who should have their tax status revoked. Can you name one representative in Congress who will represent you and me? Name one.
I can't. And
thank you. No, neither can I. So we have a one-party system. Can you name one Republican who will go to bat for us when we need them and investigate Media Matters? I cannot. What is this representative government? Ha! Representative government. A government of the sheeple, by the sheeple, and for the sheeple. A government of the internationalists, by the internationalists, and for the internationalists. A government of Goldman Sachs, by Goldman Sachs, and for Goldman Sachs. That's what you got, my friends. A government of the investment bankers.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, Rock and Roll, Rock and Roll Tuesday. Pardon me.
I'll never set you free. Be my loving baby.
Every day, the little maniac from Iran threatens to bring the world into flames. Every day, he says, the Jews will die, the Christians will die, the West is falling, the powers are falling. And I don't understand what country I'm living in anymore. Are we literally that stupefied that we're sitting here waiting for him to set off a nuclear device in New York City or Washington until we finally scramble our jets? What in the world? Who's running this country? Who is at the helm? Where is the head of the nation? Is there a head of the nation? What kind of head is at the head of the nation? Who is the head of the nation? Is it Nancy Pelosi? Oh, God help us. God help us. A housewife, Nancy Pelosi, who says that she's doing this to save the world. Suddenly she's a green. Went to Gavin Newsom's wedding in Montana, as did the entire Democrat flock from San Francisco, many of whom flew on the Google 767 jet, which, as you know, has a lower carbon footprint than a dog sled. Now, if they said to you that the 767 jet that's housed at NASA Ames, illegally in my opinion, is a low carbon footprint 767 because they said so, would you believe them? Would you eat it? Would you take the Kool-Aid? That it's a green jet. It's not like a 767 that you fly on. It's a green jet because they said so. And it's for good. Since it does good, it has a lower carbon footprint than an evil conservative jet. A Democrat jet, although it uses the same fuel, flies in the same area of the sky, is a better jet. It's a cleaner jet. It's a greener jet. Al Gore's jet, for example, although it spews fumes upon the heavens, it's a good jet. It's a clean jet. It's a green jet because he says so. And you eat the Kool-Aid. Or do you drink the Kool-Aid? But you're not listening to me anyway. What's the difference? Let them eat cheesecake. Let me read you a monologue that I wrote a while ago. Let them eat cheesecake. Before the French Revolution in the 1790s, the people of France went hungry as the aristocracy did nothing. Someone told the Queen Marie Antoinette that the people were starving because they had no bread. She replied, let them eat cake. Today the American people are starving for the truth. And the mind control machine says, let them eat cheesecake. A Muslim shooter opens fire in a mall, and the government media complex says nothing. Bush brings 7,000 Iraqis into the United States, and the story is buried. Our soldiers are killed. Our treasury is drained through a massive trade imbalance with China. Our borders are being overrun. Our enemies roam free, and we are served another slice of cheesecake. Bush calls, and they serve up coverage of a story on sex tips or a front-page story on the love life of Rudy Giuliani. Anything but the news, anything but the truth, anything but the hard fact, the hard facts about those who are plotting to kill us at every moment of every day. But who is letting the enemy into the country? Who is imprisoning the men who try to keep them out? Who is depleting the lifeblood of our nation to line the pockets of his henchmen? So let the people continue to be starved for the truth. Deny them the serving of justice they deserve, and let them eat cheesecake. That's a little monologue I did for you. And nothing's changed. Let them eat cheesecake. I don't want to give you the 2 and 2 plus 4. You can look at it yourself. You go onto various websites. And the new formula is hard news on the top and a skimpy skirt in the middle. Smiling faces of slutskis. They say sex sells. I understand that. That's wonderful. And we need to sell things in order to make money. That's also wonderful. But what happens when the frame becomes the set and the set becomes the frame? If you took elemental psychology, you learned what set and frame meant. Set and frame. Set and frame. In other words, when you start confusing the frame for the painting, or you start looking at the frame instead of the painting because you've been focused on the frame instead of the painting, then you lose a focus on reality. And what's going on now with the American media is you're looking at the frame, not the painting. Sure, they have paintings in the frame, but you're so oversaturated with the frame, meaning the slutskis and the mutskis and the sportskis and the mutskis, that you look at the frame instead of the set, and so you don't look at the news. But I kind of understand that because there's only so much a man can take. Look at a headline on FoxNews.com today. Home relief. Too little, too late. Help is on the way for some struggling homeowners, but maybe not be enough to keep many from losing their houses. Now, this is allegedly a conservative website who's in favor of the biggest handout, the biggest government bailout in the history of the United States of America. So, there is no fiscal conservatism. Bush is a fiscal communist or a fiscal socialist, to be more appropriate. Bush has been a fiscal socialist from day one. So I'm like, you know, screaming a voice in the wilderness, and people want my blood. People want my blood. You think it's just the Democrats? You're mistaken, my friend. They're using a stealth form of the Fanist Doctrine already by riling up groups against me rather than the government itself. You think I don't know who's behind them? You think that I don't know who's behind Media Matters itself? Media Matters is the front group for governmental elements. New York, Lawrence, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I got a problem. I'm a rabbi in New York, if I just mention the fact that I listen to your radio station, I get cast aside. People don't respect me. They think I'm a conservative nut. And these are conservatives as well among them. I don't know how to handle these people. I need some advice.
Are you a reform rabbi?
No. I'm an Orthodox. No, reform rabbi, forget it. Reform rabbi.
You're an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and you're telling me your congregants find conservative statements and values of the type that I express to be offensive?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They think I'm a nut. Whoever I tell, I can't. To be honest with you, nobody knows I listen to your station.
Well, I think that your congregants are the problem, not me. So in other words, when I read from the Old Testament, they're offended by that as well. When I actually read Deuteronomy or Leviticus, they find that offensive as well?
Yeah. They just know you as a conservative nut. They don't respect you.
I think what you're doing is making this up in order to defame me, because I know you're lying. Rabbi, I know you're lying because I have thousands of Orthodox Jews who are religious listeners of this show. I am the only show they permit to be played in their household, Lawrence. So you're making this up.
I work in Manhattan.
Well, you have the wrong congregants. I don't know what else to say to you. They're entitled to their opinion, but I know that you're not telling the truth.
I hope so.
Hey, have a nice day. Chicago, Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You know, Mike, I got to thank you for putting all your heart and soul into doing what's right. I'm a physician out here, and I keep your station on while I work. I've got hundreds of people listening to you now. I got truck drivers listening to you. I got your books on the shelves in my office.
Oh, be careful. They're liable to accuse you of a hate crime for having my book. And watch out. Make sure you hide your Bible when the state officials come by.
No, you're right. Now, my question is, or whatever, you know, unfortunately, your station you're on here, I looked at the Arbitron ratings, and I think they're fixed. But anyway, the station gets really low Arbitron ratings. So you're a national treasure. Now, I got an idea. I don't know if you'll go for it.
Wait, are you listening to me on WIND in Chicago?
Right.
Okay. If you look at the Arbitron ratings, you'll find that I am a big spike in the ratings on that station. In fact, I think I believe my show is the highest rated show on the station. You should also understand that there's a new rating system coming in, which I can't describe, which will change some of the data, but that's irrelevant. What's important is what I'm saying, not so much how many people are listening or not listening at any time. What's the point of your call?
What I'm getting at, you're such a national treasure and you got such good ideas. I think you need to be in the newspaper as well. And I'm thinking of something like the Savage American Party or Savage Americans.
Well, of course I should be editorializing in the Chicago Tribune, the Los Angeles Times, Newsday, and other newspapers like that. I think that they would sell phenomenal numbers of papers, because the day my editorial started to appear as op-eds, I tell my listeners, you know what? Go buy that newspaper. Show them you support an opposition, a position. Of course that should happen.
What I'm getting at, the media is not telling what Obama's about. I got people saying, "Young, I like Obama," but they don't know what he's about. So
no, they don't. What they want is the youth. They see the youth, they hear the man speaks well. He's a good-looking man, and they don't like the old man who's running against him. He looks very, very ancient, and they're afraid of voting in an ancient man. I hear that too, by the way. But they don't even know what Obama stands for.
You to put it on there, your ideas on different topics that are important, then McCain's and then Obama's, and I think that would be good. But before you get rid of me, I know you're busy, can I give you a little anecdote on the mental health of children?
I wish you would.
I had
I'll tell you what. Hold on, Bill. You're a doctor, and you want to talk about a very sensitive and important topic. Let's take a quick commercial break. They pay the bills. Then we'll come back to Bill the Doctor in Chicago. I'll be right back. Here's a new story I'm going to throw into the mix. This is an example of the insanity of liberalism. L.A. just blocked new fast food outlets from poor areas. The Los Angeles City Council has approved a one-year moratorium on new fast food restaurants in a low-income area of the city. Now, let me ask you something. Do they want these people to go to an expensive restaurant in West L.A., or perhaps they should shop in Beverly Hills and pay through the nose? Are they insane? Councilwoman Jan Perry says residents at five public meetings expressed concern with the proliferation of fast food outlets in the community plagued by above-average rates of obesity. So let me see if I understand this. They're going to ban new fast food restaurants in the poor areas of L.A., and where should the poor people eat? Are these people insane? Yes. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It's a bossy, pushy, insane mental disorder. Did you ask the poor people if they like fast food? They don't know what's good for themselves. You do. You want them to eat like you. You want them to shop in an expensive mall and feed themselves while working in an expensive mall, pay three times for a meal. I've had workers around my house. They love fast food. I have a Vietnamese friend worker. I guess he should be eating fresh fish and rice and homegrown vegetables as he did in his home country. Well, he doesn't have time to go fishing and to grow rice and vegetables. No doubt organic. You'd like him to have organic rice, too. He likes McDonald's. He gets it for his workers. He eats it and he gets it for himself. Burgers, cheeseburgers, fries, soda. Doesn't seem to hurt him. He's never gained an ounce from it. He's more energetic than anybody ever met. Oh, and he smokes, too, by the way. The Vietnamese worker smokes like a chimney. Should you ban the cigarettes? Telling him it's no, it's not good for you. Although you're a manual laborer, don't eat a high fat food product because you need the high fat. Eat low fat and become an anemic like us. Become a moron like us. Eat low fat diets like we do, so you can become an anemic moron like us without any verve left in your body, without any drive. Oh, don't eat meat. Mr. Worker, have you ever seen the manual laborers, the illegal immigrants or the legal immigrants, what they eat? They need high-fat fuel in order to do manual labor, you stupid liberal morons who do nothing for a living but push paper around, you idiots. Now, whether you can eat your vegetarian stupid food, your brains are starving for nutrients. Your brains are deficient of iron, B6, B12. Your brains are starving for methionine. Your brains are starving for methionine? No, of course not. You don't even know what methionine is. It's a poison. It's an amino acid byproduct. But I don't want to go into nutrition for you. I don't want to bore you with the details. See, manual laborers need high-fat diets, idiots. They can't eat lean and perform, morons. Nearly three-quarters of the restaurants in South L.A. are fast food outlets. That's a higher percentage than other parts of the city. See the affirmative action in restaurants now? They added it up. Oh, there's more fast food outlets in poor neighborhoods. I wonder why. Because they provide a good food product for a relatively low amount of money and a high amount of calories, which the workers need, morons. Don't you get it? I'm telling you, the country's out of control. This is socialist fascism. Why don't you let the people decide what they want to eat? You mean you know better? You mean Barbara Bach said the socialist knows what a worker should eat? Dianne Unfeinstein knows what workers should eat? Let them eat cake. Let them eat cake. They can't eat bread. Let them eat cake. Don't you see why I read that to you? Oh, they shouldn't eat bread. Let them go to the expensive areas of L.A. and eat cake, expensive cheesecake. This is an example of liberalism gone out of control. Los Angeles approving a one-year moratorium on new fast food restaurants in a low-income area of the city. Implication is that the people are being manipulated by the fast food chains. Well, let them decide what they want to eat, not the government. And there's Nancy Pelosi, fresh back from Montana, and the wedding for the Iceman. The Iceman wenteth to Africa, and he Tusum Newsom is away on safari. And she says, I am trying to save the planet. Who believes any of this? How can anyone believe any of this? So there it is. L.A. bans new fast food outlets from poor areas. Ask the poor what they want to eat. I guess they need their calories, but they can't afford to go and buy a very expensive steak in an expensive steakhouse. Nor do they have the time for it. Maybe they like driving up to a window in a pickup truck and saying, give me two cheeseburgers and French fries and a soda. Maybe they love it. As they go back to work, they feel fueled up. Oh, but you don't like it. It violates your sensibilities in Seattle, where you beat people up with bicycle locks and bicycle chains. You like riding around with your bicycles and beating up working people, don't you, you snot-nosed bums? That cop in New York should be given a prize. Every cop in New York should grab a bicycle from one of those bums.
Savage.
Detroit, Michigan, welcome to the program.
Yes. I heard you talking about the Bush legacy, and I don't know if I'd call it a legacy, but he did give us the tax cut. He didn't sign the Kyoto Accord. And most recently, he has gotten rid of that executive order that Slick Willie Clinton slipped in on us to keep us from drilling offshore, and even though it really didn't do anything, and in fact...
Well, right, Bush has done some good things. He's kept taxes low. He has also given us solid conservative justices to the bench. Alito and Roberts' appointees, along with Clarence Thomas, who was there, and Scalia. And they defeated Ginsburg and the radical leftist wing of the court. So God bless George Bush for that. There's no question about it. His greatest legacy will be the Supreme Court.
Latest thing that he did has dropped the price of oil, unless it's just a complete coincidence, $25 a barrel. But at the same time...
Wait. How did Bush drop the cost of oil? What did he do?
When he abandoned the executive order that Clinton had issued banning offshore drilling. Now, that doesn't mean they can start drilling, but it was one more block in the way, so now it has to be passed by the Congress.
Yeah, but what do you... Look, I've just acknowledged that the low taxes and the Supreme Court nominees are wonderful, but a $500 billion a year deficit, a $48 billion for AIDS, bailout of Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac,
Bush.
These things should worry us.
A lot of the things he does worry me, like that incredibly idiotic education bill that he backed. But I'm just saying, I don't think that Bush's legacy is much really to speak of, but I shudder to think what the legacy of John Kerry or Al Woodenhead Gore would have been. And I think this last thing he did, I think that was more for McCain than anybody else. And what I really wanted to ask you was, I know you don't think much of McCain, and it sounds to me like you can't stand Obama. Who is it you plan to back? Because there is nobody else.
Stay tuned. It certainly won't be Obama. Let me make it clear. Thank you for calling 1-800-449-8255. I'm certainly not going to endorse John McCain today. I'll tell you that. No, sorry, Bob. This man is zigzagging across the landscape. He's zigging and he's zagging. I'd like to see who he's going to pick as the vice presidential candidate. In his case, it's far more important than Obama picks. Why do I say, isn't this common sense, that who McCain picks as a VP choice is far more important than who Obama picks? Do I have to spell out why I said that? Well, I will. Obama is a young, healthy, vital man who, even if he loses this election, will run in the next one or the next one, and he will eventually win. There's no question he will win eventually. He's a little green right now. In fact, there's a double entendre. He's very green right now, but I think he'll be less green in more ways than one in a couple of years. But if McCain runs, he'll be very old as president. And we have to be concerned about who might take his place if, God forbid, something should happen to him. You understand that? So McCain's VP choice is far more important than Obama's. That'll appear in the newspapers and the blogs within an hour under your name. Thanks for the call. I think I feel like playing the drums right now instead of doing radio. You know, I shouldn't do emails during a radio show. This is a terrible thing. When I started the radio, there was no internet, really. 1994, I used to have to go and buy newspapers and magazines. Now I sit in front of a screen, I look at the news, and people send me emails. I shouldn't do it. It's distracting. I can't focus. So if you're listening to me, don't send me an email if you know me, please. I don't want to see it during a show. Just, you know, understand I do this for a living while you're sitting there sipping coffee or whatever you're drinking or a green tea. I know you wouldn't be eating fast food. That's for the poor. And they shouldn't eat it either. I understand that. They should have heart-healthy diets, the laborers. A nice heart-healthy diet that gives them no calories, no energy whatsoever, and very, very few nutrients. so they can afford to collapse at work after a nice light lunch like you have. Perhaps the laborer should eat a nice light yogurt with one strawberry in it, something very, very good for their coronary arterial system. They'll be very nice, but they're not lab rats. They're laborers. They need high-calorie foods. That's why they like fast foods, in addition to which it tastes good. And don't forget the taste is very important, something that most of you on the liberal side don't have anymore. If you ever had it, you lost it a long time ago. Oh, you think you have taste because you look at yourself in the mirror and you're so smartly dressed for your law office. But you have no taste. You have bile in your mouth. I just got a letter from a lawyer that came to my office from Mineola. I won't read her name, who says I should be silenced. It says, Michael Savage's comments were consistent with the rest of his rhetoric and must be silenced. Silence me, go ahead and try. But be very, very careful, silenced. You see, you Democrats think that you want to that you live in the Soviet Union. Oh, we have a fancy letterhead here. XX and your name. You've done very well suing people as you own the judges. I said your name. Oh, sweet five, say to whom it may concern, I'm a moderate Democrat. But I don't like Michael Savage. He's a man with hateful rhetoric and limited ideas. Knowledge. You are the pigeonhead, not me. And you say that my rhetoric is going to send the hitman after me? How do you intend to silence me? Through your Soviet Union. Oklahoma City, Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. I'm kind of wondering. I'm only 30 years old, and I'm only familiar with the recent Democrats. But I was wondering, dude, at one time, the Democrats... were there good Democrats, maybe as Roosevelt or Truman, that ran on what America stood for? Growing up, my uncles and my...
John F. Kennedy was a good Democrat. He was far more conservative than George Bush. John F. Kennedy would make a great conservative Republican today.
Well, how did the Democrats...
Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. John F. Kennedy, Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and war hero, incidentally, from a wonderful family. I don't care about the father a million years. The Republicans keep bringing up the bootleg thing. Kennedy was a stand-up guy and a great guy, and Kennedy was a good conservative Democrat. There's not a conservative Republican out there who can match him, so far as I know right now. So he would be the last one that I can think of.
Could you answer one quick question for me?
What?
You were, I'm calling from Oklahoma City originally. You were at Adam 5. I mean, there's nobody really on the road. So I'll pick you up on a Tulsa station now. I don't know if you
know. Well, I'm glad to hear you still can hear me. That's good. Eventually, I'll have two Dixie cups and a string. In fact, if I have to use drums, I'll still communicate. Whatever I have to use, my message is going to get out as long as I'm alive. Remember, I had a history of communication prior to the radio. All of you genius lawyers out there, check it out. I wrote 20-some-odd books published by America's greatest publishers in the field of nutrition and health, many of which were directed at saving our children from the evils of pharmaceutical companies of the type that you represent, you wonderful, fine lawyers out there who are trying to attack me right now. But the fact of the matter is there are other means of communication. I love radio. I'm born for it. I've taken to it like a duck to water, and I'll continue to do it one way or the other. The enemies of truth will not silence me, I can guarantee you. The enemies of the truth will not silence me. We do not live in the ex-Soviet Union. If that's where they wish to live and call themselves liberals, well, they ought to look in the mirror. They ought to look themselves in the mirror and realize what they have become, if not what they have already been. San Francisco, John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael.
Yes.
Damn it.
Yes,
Michael.
Yes. What?
My great-great uncle was the first filmmaker in Hollywood, and he was anything but a liberal. He actually was a Republican, and he was a...
I'm glad to hear it. Can you do me a favor next time and put a muzzle on your dog before you call? and try to not use a speakerphone. God, now I'm starting to, it's like the beginning days of radio. Now we're getting the marginal callers now. But what do I care? His uncle was in Hollywood. Of course everybody in Hollywood was patriotic before the communists took over. We know that. 1940s, they were all, with the exception of the communists, patriotic. The movies were all patriotic. If you go back to the early days of Hollywood, most of these men were Russian emigres, and they loved this country. They were super patriots. This all got distorted when the Red Diaper Dopa babies invaded Hollywood. The RDDBs and their sons, their ilk, their spawn, their descendants. It's intergenerational Red Diaper Dopa babydom that is running Hollywood right now. Now, allegedly, I'm live in Los Angeles on KGIL. Is there a Los Angeles caller? Because if there is, give me a ring at 1-800-449-8255, and I'll send you a free gift. But you got to call in the next 1 minute. San Jose, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Is he there or gone? Gone. Okay. California, Janet, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, about loving your enemies, many Americans, I find, are totally perplexed about what this means. Sometimes loving someone means giving them a swift kick in the you-know-what to straighten them out. Just because a parent...
I had a Christian theologian on this show about 2 years ago on this topic, actually more than 2 years ago. It was after 9/11. And he very clearly stated that the Christian Bible does not prohibit killing the enemy, nor does it say you must embrace the enemy.
Well, it doesn't mean being a doormat, that's for sure. Sometimes you need to correct someone and let them know what's right and what isn't.
Oh, don't say that. You must be mean-spirited and hateful, Janet. You're not suggesting that there aren't people who need to be told what to do, are you? Only conservatives need to send me hate mail like this?
Yeah. Well,
Harris says, Mr. Savage seeks to arouse the worst in his listeners. His comments were consistent with the rest of his rhetoric, and he must be sucked. Thank you. San Diego, Leanne, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I would like to ask you if you could please include in your movie or your book the Day of the Ducks that you talked about. That was the first day I listened to you, and although it's a small thing, I was profoundly affected by your story about the ducks and how they affected you, and then the things that you talked about that day, including honor thy father and the house of mourning, which for 30 years had perplexed me, and you actually changed the quality of my life by helping me understand the meaning of those.
How is that possible if I'm such a hate-filled rhetorician? How could I touch you like that? And or you don't understand me?
No, she doesn't understand you, and it is because...
That's because she lives in a world of hatred, in my opinion. Lawyers live in a world of hatred and killing people in court and of manipulating people and robbing people. That's what lawyers live to do, of manipulating and robbing the opponent. So she projects her hatred for the world on me and says I must be silenced because in her heart she believes, in my opinion, she should be silenced. But I'll leave that to God, not to me. Now, let me ask you, which duck story are you talking about, the boy duck and the girl duck?
No, you came back from vacation, and a group of you were affected by a large group of ducks, and it just touched.
Oh, me. Off one of my houses, there were about 200 black ducks, sea ducks, sitting off my house. One day, it was astonishing because they had come to me in a dream earlier, and my father came back from the next world and all of that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and the way you told the story, that whole day should be included, I think, in either a chapter or in your movie.
I wish I could recall it, and I hope my producer, Beowulf, can find it, because that was a mystical kind of story. And the fact of the matter is I sometimes go into mystical states here on the show and don't even realize it.
Include that in your movie or books, because that shows a different side.
My movie, yes, that's right. I'm going to work on my movie full time. And guess what happens? What happens when my movie opens in Mineola, New York? Boy, will be marching with a picket sign provided by Media Matt.
No,
I wouldn't think so.
We can.
No, he must be silenced. Well, they could burn the book fire, not of the vanities, and they could burn my books. Perhaps there should be bonfires across America where the good liberals who believe in freedom, except with what they don't believe in, because after all, they don't believe in banning free speech. They believe in banning hate speech, and they'll define what hate speech is, you know. Just as they know what poor people should eat and not eat, they know what people should read and not read, because they're smarter than everybody else. They have law degrees.
Love thy enemy by praying for them, because I have found that God will take care of them, and I have found that to be true.
I'll leave that to you then. You can pray for my enemies. I'm not ready for that yet. But I will take what you said under advisement. We're going to search for that tape of the duck story. Before you go, you've got my attention. You said something about redemption in that dream. What was it about? In that story about fathers?
Honoring thy father, and you explained the meaning of both honoring thy father.
Oh, when the Bible says honor thy father and honor thy mother, and what it really means, it doesn't mean you have to worship thy father and thy mother. That's what you were getting at, right?
And what you said was so true, and I needed to
because
know.
Because you probably had a mean parent, and you felt guilty about how you felt about the parent for what the parent had done to you. When in fact, it's not a literal meaning. It doesn't mean honor thy parent, no matter how evil he may be to you. It doesn't mean that at all. It means honor the fact that the father gave you life and connected you to the stream of life. It doesn't mean that you have to worship everything he did or did to you. I think that's the gist of what you're saying, correct?
You say, yes, you saved my life with that. The rest of my life has been better now from that day on.
That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. But that was taught to me by a religious woman who told me, because I was perplexed over that. I said, how could I honor everything my parents did or said when many of the things were not what I would like them to have said or done to me? And she said to me, because you're supposed to honor that they gave you life. But it doesn't have to mean you have to get on your hands and knees and say, I worship you, Daddy. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. Imagine me sitting here in the studio with my microphone, and I have my 10-pound poodle Teddy with his poodle phone. Hey, he's a hateful dog, though. He should be silenced, too. He's probably a hateful little dog. Why, I'll bet he bites kids. Why, I'll bet he's not really a poodle. He's just a faker, that dog. Savage uses him as a prop. He doesn't really have a dog like that. He probably has a mean, mean pit bull that bites people. Ooh. Yeah, the polite people. Los Angeles, Drew, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how are you doing, Dr. Savage?
Are you listening on KGIL in L.A.?
Yes, finally live. I've been trying to follow you around all over the...
I know, there's been no advertising. There are bus sides coming up very soon. Well, you're going to win a prize, Drew, because Los Angeles is a very important market. What would you like in my inventory of items? Would you like a collection of the latest hate letters? Would you like the chalice in which I'm to drink the hemlock on a designated night?
No,
the good liberals. The good liberals don't believe in banning free speech, just hate speech, and they'll define what hate speech is and what free speech is, as usual in a fascist society going back to ancient Greece. They didn't like the free speech of the gentleman. Socrates. So they gave him hemlock. The powers that be. Today, the hemlock consists of we're canceling you. Today, the hemlock is in the form of advertisers who promote the homosexual agenda, canceling Michael Savage. You know, I want to talk about that for a minute, Drew. It's very interesting that Ford lost about $9 billion in the last quarter. Did you remember reading about that?
Yeah.
Do you realize that the Christian community was activated against several automobile companies and other corporations because of their embracing the homosexual agenda, and they ceased to buy their products? Do you think that the Christian community that was so activated because of the anger of the embracing of the homosexual community had anything to do with the deficit of Ford Motor Company? Well, it may have, but it wasn't reported in the newspapers by the Associated Press. Why? Because the pink hand is everywhere in the newsroom. So now I'm going to send you, Drew, a free gift. What it shall be, I don't know. But please do, guys, get Drew's name and address and send it to my fulfillment house. And whenever we have over inventory on, we'll send Drew. whatever we can't sell.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. In this hour, I generally run interviews that I do earlier in the day, but right now I'm going to read you the headlines of the day, and many of them you've heard before. The craziest headline of the day is that Los Angeles City Council, the LA City Council, has banned new fast food outlets from poor areas because they know better than poor people what to eat. They'd like them to go to the expensive restaurants in Beverly Hills, perhaps. In the midst of laying bricks, they can drive over to Beverly Hills and eat a $75 luncheon. Because they know what's better for the laborer. They shouldn't eat nasty hamburgers and French fries and sodas. No, no, no. Laborers don't eat high-calorie foods to produce to have energy for work. No. After all, they know what's best for everybody. That's the liberal way. That's the socialist way. From cradle to grave, the government knows best. And so they said, no new fast food outlets in poor areas. Because it means the fast food restaurants were targeting the poor. McDonald's and Taco Bell and things of that nature. No, they're actually providing a service to them. Good food at low prices. High-calorie good food at low prices that laborers and poor people generally like and need, by the way, dimwit in Los Angeles. Here's some other stories. Florida guns at work law upheld by federal judge. Well, that's a refreshing change. That is a refreshing change. Employees with concealed weapons permits can keep guns locked in their cars at work in Florida. But businesses are allowed to prohibit customers from bringing firearms on their property. A so-called federal judge has ruled. I don't even want to go into it. All right, that's good. It's a step in the right direction. Do you know what the Second Amendment was written for? To protect the First Amendment. Tell that to your lawyer friends who would like everyone but the government to have guns. The Second Amendment was written to protect the First Amendment because without the Second Amendment, there would be no First Amendment, and particularly the direction we're going in under Nancy Pelosi and her gang. Biggest earthquakes in recent California history. Okay, that'll be all over the evening news with the vultures waiting to see death. So far as I know, there haven't been any yet, but that wouldn't stop CNN from hoping that someone doesn't die somewhere so they can report it, hanging around to see. Although there was no death and no great damage, there could have been death and great damage. And we're here with the cameras to hope that there is death and damage so we can keep you watching. Hector, I'll go to you now. Hector, what do you see? Well, I see rubble over here, Berta, and although no one is injured, we know there could have been great injuries. Back to you, Wolf. What do you have to say? Well, we'll have more in a moment. Stay tuned now for another Slutsky here on CNN. Loma Prieta earthquake 6.9. Oh, that's interesting. I lived through that one. Earthquakes can be fun, by the way, if you don't get hurt. The whole world becomes like a psychedelic nightmare. I remember that that Loma Prieta earthquake. I think it was in 89, wasn't it? Yeah, October 1989. 63 deaths, nothing to laugh at, 6.9. Today's was, how much today? Chino Hills, California, July 29th, 2005, 4, and nothing. You can shrug it off. Why I have earthquakes and tornadoes? I lived through a 6.9er. That 5.4 was nothing today by what we had way back in 89. I remember I was in a house down by the water in a single wall construction, the normal garbage construction here in California. The worst construction in America is Northern California. Bungalows with single walls and virtually no insulation that cost, you know, five times what they're worth. Garbage. In any other part of America, they'd be considered chicken coops. Here they pass for luxury housing. Luxury housing. The whole house shook in 18 different directions. I thought I was like in Coney Island at like the fun house with the distortion mirror. I couldn't believe it because if you don't know what's coming, it occurred, you know, in San Francisco down the fault line. Of course, the entire city has a fault line running through the minds of the politicians. So the whole house, it didn't move left, right, didn't move up, and it moved in like waves, like being on a boat. Captain's boat. So have there been any deaths? I hope not today. I haven't seen any yet. But Governor Schwarzenegger has come out and declared some kind of emergency so he can get some federal money from George Bush. And that's very good. There's another, maybe a little more to the deficit now. Feds indict three environmentalists in Wisconsin attack on U.S. Forest Service. That's good. Arrest all of the radical environmentalists. See if I care. Many tourists unfazed by fire raging near Yosemite. Wow. That's way cool, all those flames. Ooh. Look at that. Yosemite's on fire. Can we get those pictures? Take them back to Kansas? Well, we were in Yosemite during the fire. We weren't touched by it, but the fire was really cool. And then we had a meal at the French Laundry. We don't eat fast food. What a country. Like living in a nut house. The whole thing is a nut house. I think the politicians, I still believe that politicians should be forced to take a drug test once a month. Little cups passed around by the people. Laboratories approved by the people, and then we see who's on drugs and what kind of drugs. Because I would suspect that a goodly percentage of them are on drugs, legal and illegal. There's nothing else to explain this. We're living through a madness. Every day we're told, expect an attack from the Islamofascist. Don't expect an attack. Things are going to be better. They're not going to be better. We have a deficit. We don't have a deficit. Prices are out of control, but they're coming down. Oil's too high. It's not too high. We need more oil, but don't drill for any more oil. What drugs are they on? Do you have any idea what drugs they may be on other than the obvious, the Prozacs? I mean, what drugs are they on is the question. Because we're being ruled by drug addicts, as far as I can tell. I'll be right back as a Savage Nation, and I hope you love it.
Savage.
The Nazi horrors of World War II have been documented time and time again so that people will never forget it. But not much has been written about the corporation's role in what happened, and that hasn't been taught. Our next guest, Dierma Jeffries, has a new book, Hell's Cartel, I.G. Farben and the Making of Hitler's War Machine. And in it, he looks into one of the largest and most notorious corporations in history. Mr. Jeffries, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today. It's good to be here.
A lot of people don't remember I.G. Farben. Would you give us some background?
In 1925, a number of Germany's biggest chemical corporations got together to form a giant cartel. And they did this because they wanted to reassert Germany's dominance over a field of industry, which it had, for many years, all the way back to the 19th century, it had actually been foremost in. But it had lost its position because of World War I and the Treaty of Versailles. And in 1925, they sought to reestablish this dominance by getting together in one giant cartel called IG Farben. And these companies, which is formed of BASF, Bayer, the drugs company, Hirsch, another drugs company, Agfa, and a few others, they really, really thought that by doing this, they could control the world. And the field of chemistry, let's not forget, chemistry in those days was like computers today. It was the most important cutting-edge scientific field to be in. It's where all the interest and the power and the money was going. And this company wanted to completely dominate the world. Now, the problem is, of course, is that this meant that they lost sight of many things. They lost sight of what was right and wrong in that process. And when they became involved with the Nazis, as they were to in the 1930s, this overriding ambition was to prove their downfall.
Well, how did they become entangled with the Nazi Party?
Well, what happened was is that there was a kind of a relationship that benefited both of them. In the first instance, they came into contact with each other because when Hitler was coming to power in 1933, he needed money to effect his coup, his takeover in Germany, if you like, and to win or have a go at winning the last democratic election in Germany. And one of the people who he asked for money amongst all the industrialists that was beginning to support the Nazi Party was IG Farben. And IG Farben gave money to the Nazi Party, not at that time because they had any great belief in its ideals, but because they really wanted the government's help to subsidize some of their business interests, particularly making synthetic oil. So they gave lots and lots of cash. In fact, they became the largest single contributor to the Nazi Party from that point on. And in return, the government decided or agreed to buy its products, to subsidize its products. And so what then happened was, over the course of the 30s, as Adolf Hitler was beginning to prepare his plans for European domination and for another war, if you like, that would reverse all the problems that Germany had encountered in World War One, he needed a source of strategic raw materials like oil and rubber. If he was going to launch a war, his tanks needed oil to run on, his half-tracks and military vehicles needed rubber for their tires. And so he basically got into a relationship with IG Farben, or the Nazis got into a relationship with IG Farben, whereby huge amounts of government money were put into buying IG Farben products. And IG Farben then went on to produce, became the largest, if you like, the single largest producer of not just oil and rubber, but also explosives and armaments of one sort or another. And then as war drew closer and closer, IG Farben became very, very keen to see that its products were to be used, obviously, because obviously the more of its products that were being used by the military, the more money it was making.
Well, of course.
And so gradually it began to get sucked in, if you like, into the Third Reich machine, and its executives all signed up to the Nazi Party. And so by the time the war started in 1939, it was pretty much like the industrial arm of the Third Reich, if you like. It was the largest single business, it was producing all these armaments, and it was very keen to see them used in war. Now, they later on said that this was their intent had purely been to make money, and they were interested only in the defense of Germany, but I think history proved that not to be the case. And so when the war started, as the Wehrmacht went around and invaded Poland and Czechoslovakia, and then France and Belgium and Western Europe, IG Farben executives kind of followed hard on their heels, snapping up the confiscated factories that the Nazis had taken from the occupied territories, from Jews, etc., and began to take them over. This was to increase its own power and might, if you like. Eventually, this relationship became so close that when the Nazi Party, or when Adolf Hitler wanted to start making more synthetic oil and rubber, they built IG Farben built a huge factory at Auschwitz in Poland.
Oh my God.
And used a slave labor to construct that plant, slave labor that was selected off the trains and then used up and then sent off to the gas chambers for disposal in that awful way that they had.
Well, originally they were only trying to make a profit. When did it turn into something else?
Well, essentially what happened was is that as originally this company, this cartel, was composed of Nobel Prize-winning scientists and philanthropists. This was back in the 30s and the 20s. And they weren't at that point, they weren't Nazis. But, you know, in 1930s Germany, it was very hard for anyone at any sort of senior level in any organization not to have some sort of close links to the Nazi Party because you couldn't function without it. Nevertheless, there were some businessmen who were able to keep them at an arm's length and just do what they had to do. And not really have any close relationship with them. But IG Farben's executives gradually became ideologically sympathetic towards the Nazi Party. And so by the time the war started, when the government started making demands on them for, as indeed they had been for the last two or three years leading up to the war, when the government was making demands on them for products for their war machine, if you like, they were ideologically, or beginning to be ideologically sympathetic towards everything the Nazi Party was doing and didn't see anything wrong. Now, later on, of course, after the war, they said, well, listen, we were just doing our duty as patriotic Germans and patriotic businessmen. But, hey, there were plenty of patriotic Germans who didn't go around building concentration camps at Auschwitz.
What happened to IG Farben after the war?
What happened is immediately after the war, in 1947, the board directors of IG Farben, the kind of senior executives who ran it, 23 of them were put on trial for war crimes at Nuremberg. And they were prosecuted not by all of the Allies together, interestingly enough, but they were prosecuted by just by the Americans. And it was a very difficult situation for the Americans, for some American prosecutors, because back home in the States and indeed elsewhere in Europe, there was a feeling that the Cold War was just getting underway, and was it right to be trying businessmen who could be helping Germany get back on its feet in the fight against communism? But nevertheless, some very single-minded American lawyers, led by a man called Telford Taylor, took them to court at Nuremberg. And prosecuted them. But only the judges, I'm afraid, were not quite as convinced of their guilt as the American prosecution believed they should be. Only 13 of the 23 were actually found guilty, and they were indicted. Had they been indicted on charges of things like slavery and mass murder and spoliation and various other war crimes. But only 13 of the 23 were found guilty. 10 of them were set free completely. And even those 13 who were found guilty, very few of them served sentences more than a couple of years, because they were allowed out for good behavior. IG Farben itself then was then broken up by the Allies and reconstituted back into the companies that it had originally been formed from, and that's companies such as Bayer, the drug maker, BASF, who make plastics, Agfa, who used to make photographic film, Hirsch, another big drugs company, and they then took part in what was then became the German economic miracle of the 1960s and 1970s.
Is anything left of IG Farben?
IG Farben as a kind of rump, if you like, as a tiny fraction of it, existed until 2003, funnily enough. It was just a small adjunct to a lawyer's office in Germany. It was nothing more than that. And it just existed as a legal entity just to kind of manage pension funds and things of that sort. But nevertheless, it went into liquidation in 2003 when the press for compensation from victims of the Holocaust and people whose relatives had died in World War II, in the end, basically forced it to shut because they were pressing for compensation. And rather than pay any money to them, IG Farben, what was left of it anyway, went into liquidation.
Did big business learn anything from this experience?
Well, you know, the terrifying thing for me is this. When the aims of big business and governments become closely intertwined, that's when you need to worry. Because essentially what happened in IG Farben's case was that they both had a desire to see their products being used. IG Farben needed to make money. They had shareholders, and they didn't really care what they were being used for. They just needed to make sure they were used, and they could turn over these vast profits. The government needed to use those products to advance its political agenda. So they had this kind of relationship which was very, very close. Now, there have been times since then, and there will probably be times like it again in the future, when the aims of government and business become very closely entwined. And that's very, very dangerous, I think. And so there are lessons very much to be learned from this for big businesses today, and for all of us when we're looking at how corporations actually deal with governments and how closely they can become linked.
Mr. Jeffries, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Okay, Michael, that was great. Thanks very much indeed. Thanks for talking to me.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Keep playing Rammstein for a minute. Let's clear the air. I don't like Swampanit. I don't care. There's a new article out by Kenneth Timmerman that's complicated and long, but I'm going to summarize it. Timmerman says that Iran has carried out missile tests for what could be a plan for a nuclear strike on the United States, according to the head of a national security panel. Now, what kind of strike? What does Iran want to do? And are we prepared for it? They've got test ranges in Iran, which are more than long enough to handle Scud launches and even Shahab 3 launches, Dr. Graham said. He said, why would they be launching from the surface of the Caspian Sea? They obviously have not explained that to us. Now, he says another troubling group of tests involved Shahab 3 launches where the Iranians detonated the warhead near Apogee. Now, what does that mean? They detonate the nuclear weapon not over the target area where the thing would eventually land, but at altitude. Now, why would the Iranians test the missile at altitude? Graham chairs the Commission to Assess the Threat to the United States from Electromagnetic Pulse Attack, EMP attack. Now, what would your life be like if the Iranians, who have been threatening to do this for a long time now, actually do it? Why, they'd cripple America. It says even if a crude nuclear weapon were detonated anywhere between 40 kilometers to 400 kilometers above the Earth, in a split second it would generate an electromagnetic pulse that would cripple military and civilian communications, power, transportation, water, food, and other infrastructure, the report warned. Now, of course, there'd be protests against Michael Savage for being a hate monger, not against the Iranians, nor against Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time. Oh, no, it would be, hey, hey, ho, ho, Michael Savage has got to go. The man has been warning you about Iran for years now. The very groups that should be protecting me are attacking me. The very groups that should be marching against the Iranians and demanding a nuclear strike on them before they strike us are attacking me. Why? Because liberalism is a mental disorder. But I'll go on. Maybe I can awaken you the way Churchill tried to awaken the British all through the 1930s when he was called a warmonger, a hate monger, a this monger, a that monger. So an EMP attack would cripple military and civilian communications, power, transportation, water, food, and other infrastructure. And I guess Media Matters wouldn't be able to print up posters even. They wouldn't be able to bus in protesters, fly them in. They couldn't print posters, nothing. The near-term impact on U.S. society would dwarf the damage of a direct nuclear attack on a U.S. city, dwarf it. The first indication of such an attack by Iran would be that the power would go out and some but not all the telecommunications would go out. We would not physically feel anything in our bodies. What would happen, though? Electric power, water, and gas delivery systems would fail. There would be massive traffic jams. So you would be walking. You wouldn't be driving at that point. Well, that would be very good for the environmental movement. Think about that. No cars. Hey, hey, ho, ho. They would actually throw flowers at the Iranian embassy, the liberals in America, because it would be a green America at that point. What would happen next? The food distribution system would grind to a halt. Why, then those who just banned fast foods in L.A., they could send flowers to the Iranians because, well, we could go back to nature. We could grow our own food, man. That is so way cool. You just throw corn on the ground and you grow it. You don't even have to go to those evil modern restaurants. Just grow it, man. Victory Gardens, way cool. Even warehouses equipped with backup diesel generators would fail because we wouldn't be able to pump the fuel into the trucks and get the trucks to the warehouses. Wow, man, so 19th century. Then we read the United States would quickly revert to an early 19th century type of country, except that we would have 10 times as many people with 10 times fewer resources. Many of the things we depend upon would be gone, and we would literally be depending on our own assets and those we could reach by walking to them. Whoa. So there it is. It says people in hospitals would be dying faster than that because they depend on power to stay alive. But then it would go to water, food, civil authority, emergency services, and we would end up with a country with many, many people not surviving the event. That's if Iran were to launch the EMP attack it appears to be preparing for, Dr. Graham said. He said you have to go back into the 1800s to look at the size of population that could survive in a nation deprived of mechanized agriculture, transportation, power, water, and communication. He says I have to say that 70-90% of the population would not be sustainable after this kind of attack. Well, that's perfect for the green movement. The Unabomber would appreciate this. The entire environmental movement ought to be sending flowers to the Iranians and demand such an attack. It said America would be reduced to a core of around 30 million people. About the number that existed in the decades after America's independence from Great Britain. The modern electronic economy would shut down and America would most likely revert to an earlier economy based on barter. That is so green. That is just so green. It said, furthermore, if Iran launched an attack from a cargo ship plying the commercial sea lanes off the East Coast, a scenario that appears to have been tested during the Caspian Sea tests, wake up, schmucks. Wake up, schmucks who are protesting Savage. Schmucks! Idiots! You're being distracted by the enemies of your own survival. Schmucks! Wake up! So they could set it off, and they've been testing it. They've been preparing for it. And to disguise their tactics, the Iranians could simply decide to sink the ship that had been used to launch it, say they didn't do it. Several participants in last weekend's conference in Dearborn, Michigan, hosted by the conservative Claremont Institute, argued that Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, was thinking about an EMP attack when he opined that, quote, a world without America is conceivable. But that doesn't reach the liberal mind. They also want a world without America. They don't want America. They hate America. But what do we who love America do when we see our enemy trying desperately to kill us? What do we do? I don't know. You figure it out. We have smart people running America after Nancy Pelosi just said she's out to save the world. You have to trust in Nancy Pelosi. Any woman who's out to save the world, save the world, save the planet, and can make a good lasagna can't be a bad woman. After all, she's a brilliant woman, and she's going to save the planet just by talking about it. Now, she wouldn't do it by striking Iran. She could save the planet by taking them out with the mullahs all in one strike, by launching one, pressing one button, it's all over. One button from one of our submarines, one of our ships, one of our planes, and the next time Hitler gets up in his little platform shoes and gives a hate speech with the mullahs from the 9th century, boom, they're gone, and that's it. And the Iranians dance in the streets. But don't tell that to Nancy Pelosi. She's too busy attacking George Bush and the Republican Party to understand the real danger. This is the world we live in. A housewife is now ruling America. An EMP attack on America would send us back to the horse and buggy era without the horse and buggy, said Representative Trent Franks, a Republican of Arizona, who plans to introduce legislation next week that would require the Pentagon to lay the groundwork for an eventual military strike against Iran to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons and EMP capability. You know, I'd like to give everything I can to support Rep. Trent Franks, our Arizona. He's one of the few sane people in Congress. He said, if you're a terrorist, this is your ultimate goal, your ultimate asymmetric weapon. Don't tell that to the Greens and to Obama and to Nancy Pelosi. Obama wants to talk to Ahmadinejad. And, of course, Ahmadinejad would love to talk to Obama, the same way Hitler loved to talk to that wonderful diplomat from England. You know who he was? You didn't learn that in high school? Didn't learn it in college? Never heard about it? Never heard about, I just met President Hitler, and he said he wants no more war? Never heard that speech? Never heard of Neville Chamberlain? Oh, well, didn't make it to your school. You were busy learning how to put a condom on a cucumber, I suppose. So the experts said this is very serious. He said the only way the United States could credibly threaten an Iranian missile strike would be to deploy effective national missile defenses, which, of course, the communist liberals don't want. He said it's well known that people don't go on a diet until they've had a heart attack, said Claremont Institute President Brian Kennedy. And we as a nation are having a heart attack when it comes to the threat of an EMP attack from Iran. As of today, we have no defense against such an attack. He said we need space-based missile defenses to protect against an EMP attack. I am reading from an article in Newsmax magazine by Kenneth Timmerman, U.S. Intelligence, Iran Plans Nuclear Strike on the U.S. You could write it all off as Republican, conservative, warmongering, as most of you liberals on medication no doubt will say. Most of you are medicated and don't even understand the danger you are really in. Instead, you attack those who are trying to defend you. But that's okay. That's the price we have to pay, those of us who are far enough seeing to understand the danger we are all in. He said the United States needs a missile defense that is so strong in all the different phases we need to defend against that countries will decide it's not worth coming up against us, said Senator John Kyle, a longstanding champion of missile defense. God bless him. He then went on and concluded, and I'll conclude with his last statement. That's one of the things that defeated the Soviet Union. That's one of the ways we can deal with these rogue states, and also the way that we can keep countries that are not enemies today but are potential enemies from developing capabilities to challenge us. Of course we need it. We need missile defense, and we need an immediate strike against Ahmadinejad and the throwback mullahs. Then the world will be safe from hell for the next 50 years. Otherwise, this maniac will drag the world into flames. Now, I want to repeat something that many of you listeners never heard because the media, the liberals in the media who are on the side of Obama and want you to think that the Iranian leader wants to talk to Obama, want you to believe. This is a statement that you probably didn't see, didn't hear, and don't want to see and hear. What's amazing to me is the Jewish listeners in particular and supporters of Israel in particular don't even remember this. They refuse to remember this. Instead, they want to hate me. Again, they're misdirected by the haters of the truth and the haters of America. And the statement came from, I think, Rafsanjani, the former head of Iran, who said that a nuclear attack on Israel would kill the entire nation of Israel, while a retaliation by Israel would only harm part of Iran. Then Ahmadinejad, the maniac in platform shoes, the weird man with the sick smile, the most evil face on the planet today. That's right. Look at his face. You're looking at the face of the devil. If you said to me, paint the devil's face, I said, just look at Ahmadinejad. There's the devil. He kills homosexuals and say there are no homosexuals in Iran, and the homosexuals attack me, not him. That's right. Think about that. How come the homosexual movement never attacked Ahmadinejad yet? How come they let him speak at Columbia and said nothing, but they attack me? Think about that. Think about the mindset of a movement that would attack the man who actually defends them, and instead let the man who kills their brethren get away with saying that there are no homosexuals in Iran. Think about that before you attack me again. So that's what's going on in the world, an EMP attack. But don't think it's real. It's only by the warmongers and the war profiteers. It's not the Greens. It's not the environmentalists. It's not the Democrats. It's not Obama. Because he offers hope. Hope in the face of terror. Hope in the face of fear. Hope in the face of starvation. Hope, hope, hope. Eat that hope. But, sir, I'm starving to death. Have another plate of hope. But, sir, the electricity went out. Why? Turn on that hope. And that will light your heart. I'll be right back.
Savage.
LA bans new fast food outlets from poor areas. Let them eat cake. But, sir, they can't afford to eat in expensive restaurants. That means nothing to us. What's important is that there are no more fast food outlets in Los Angeles. The poor should eat better food, even if they have to drive 50 miles to find a good restaurant in Beverly Hills. They can make a reservation at Morton's like we do. Why should they eat bad food? Let them eat a refined salad in a fine restaurant in Los Angeles, somewhere in Beverly Hills. Not that rotten garbage. We don't eat that. We're effete. We know better. We're slim. We're smart. They're fat and stupid and slow. We want them to be slim and smart like us, so they're not going to eat any more fast food. That's the world we're living in. Another edict from another city council of like an insane asylum, like people living in a nut house. The whole political class is like a nut house. Once in a while, you see an intelligent one like Congressman Frank who says, we're preparing papers for a nuclear strike in Iran to stop them before they hit us with an EMP attack. Now, that's what we pay the government to do. Protect us from these throwbacks from the 9th century before they kill us all. Ohio, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. I feel like Jeremiah in the wilderness here.
Mr. Savage, love your wisdom. Hey, I just wanted to tell you how much we appreciate your personal stories. And
well, that's very nice of you. I know that most of my listeners support me. I know that, believe me. But these are the hardest times I've ever had in radio. To think that the very community that I have helped all of my life since childhood is coming after me is astounding, that they could be so easily manipulated by Media Matters. It's amazing to me, Dan. But stranger things have happened, and I guess God is testing me.
You're handling it really well. We love to hear about it in a way. So keep going. And, you know, hey, we were just in San Diego and felt a little earthquake, the little rumble before.
Well, we'll let the earth move under your feet at least.
It was something. Nobody got hurt, of course. It was over a 5. And
well,
yeah,
the earth moved under your feet, as I say, so it was definitely a safe situation. Thank you for the call. Orlando, Florida. Linda, welcome to Savage Nation. What's your mind? Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. This is Linda.
Yes.
I'm calling tonight to tell you there are women in your audience. It's not all men that support.
Linda, would you do me a favor and would you write to Media Matters and ask for their latest tax returns?
Right to Media Matters?
Yeah, they're the people who are stirring up the autism community against me by misquoting me. They're the people trying to get me off the air by stirring people up to write stations and managers with false charges against me. I would like to counterattack through my millions of listeners by demanding a federal investigation of Media Matters' tax status. You can help by going to the internet, looking up Media Matters, getting their address, and legally asking for a copy of their tax returns. And then we'll go to the next step. I am raising money on michaelsavage.com to defend myself against CARE, Council on American-Islamic Relations, and also to launch a broadside against those trying to drive me out of radio, Media Matters. So if you want to help, you can help in several different ways, either by sending money to my defense fund or by asking for the tax returns of Media Matters. And it makes so much money for running such a fine corporation. How could they make hundreds of thousands a year in an nonprofit organization with no oversight? Moreover, how come they're not paying any taxes when they're a partisan political group, according to my analysis? They state in their own mission statement that they attack conservatives only. They look only for conservative political bias. By definition, they should have no they should not be a nonprofit corporation. And I mean going back to their founding, which I think was in 2005. I believe that if an IRS investigation were launched, there has to be one conservative IRS agent listening to this show. There has to be one. Has to be one. There has to be one who could say, yeah, you know what? The guy may be right, and what's fair is fair. Let's look into Media Matters. If their mission statement is to detect bias in the conservative media, by definition, they are a political organization. They're engaging in politics, and they violate the nonprofit status of the 501c3 or 4, whatever they are. And therefore, they should have their nonprofit status revoked. And on top of it all, they should pay taxes going back to 05 and interest. And if there's any shenanigans that are illegal, they should go to jail. That's my opinion. But then again, I'm only one man being attacked by these people who should be attacking Ahmadinejad, Iran, and those in Iran who want to kill us. But instead, they attack me in order to throw me off track and keep me from my important job of alerting America to the real dangers that are facing all of us, by the way. Oh, my enemies say he does it only for attention. I don't need your attention. In fact, I'd rather you didn't listen to the show. That attention like that I could do without. Suddenly, I need it for attention? Listen to me, my friends. I wrote over 20 books before you ever heard of me, so don't tell me what I need and what I don't need. And years I collected medicinal plants looking for cures. I didn't make a dime. I funded it myself. So don't tell me what I do with my life. I will write my legacy, not you. No. You're not going to write my legacy. I'm going to write my legacy. And believe me, my friends, my legacy has real legs. My legacy has real legs. Does yours? Does yours? San Diego, Kent, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm updating my resume. I'm trying to get a job with the new Los Angeles Department of Fast Food. What do you
Yes, I'll give you a recommendation. And by the way, I think we should put SWAT teams outside of McDonald's in L.A., and if anybody exceeds a certain weight, I think that they should be turned away, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I think in San Francisco, instead of hunting down the illegal aliens who gunned down Mr. Bologna and his two sons, I think that Gavin Newsom, when he comes back from his safari, should definitely put in a department of fast foods and pay people over $100,000 a year to make sure that people over a certain weight for their height do not eat fast foods. That would be something that any Tucson Newsom could sink his teeth into. A department of fast foods. I think you should apply for that job in the state of California, Kevin. You can.
Yeah.
Certainly Los Angeles is ready for you. We need a new bureaucracy to investigate how many fast food restaurants are in poor neighborhoods. That's what we should be doing with our scarce resources. How many fast food restaurants are proportionately in poor neighborhoods? Actually, when you think about it, Schwarzenegger could send buses to the poor neighborhoods to pick up the workers and bring them to Beverly Hills for lunch on the taxpayer. They should be given a low-calorie, low-fat meal that has no energy in it so they can go back and faint in the afternoon when they try to do hard labor. They could faint. That would be a sign of being like a white effete liberal. They could faint when they have to use their
Savage.
Hands.